Dear fellow redeemed of Jesus Christ, our word comes from the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God before us today. Our thoughts center on the theme that Jesus was the perfectly overqualified Savior. And through that truth, it revealed our disqualification as sinners, but it also showed a gift that was granted by the Father's divine approval. In our fast-paced world, we have plenty of ways to set ourselves apart from others, to show our qualifications over and above others. Most of the time this happens with our education degrees or our experience in our occupations or jobs. We want to be able to have proof that we are more qualified or better suited to fulfill a task than somebody else. Usually when you seek master's level degree or a doctorate degree, you'll get little letters that come after your name that are attached to your name to show that you are more qualified. Today, more than ever, the concept of getting your resume out there and being detailed and full in how you present it and also sharing it and distributing it online and networking is more important than ever, because it's one more thing that can help set you apart from the rest. But sometimes this never-ending pursuit of wanting to show ourselves as more qualified than others can lead us to burnout. But what's also interesting is that sometimes being overqualified is not a good thing either. We might naturally think that there's no way that we could ever be overqualified for something. Certainly any type of education or experience or quality is good. We should always want more and more and more, something more to attach to our record. But sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes a company might pass over a candidate who's much more qualified and much more experienced because they don't want to pay as much. Sometimes a company might look at a lesser experienced candidate and say that that's somebody that we can shape and mold to our vision rather than somebody who's been on the job 20 or 30 years. There can be several reasons why, but it is true that sometimes it's not good to be overly qualified for something. That's what John the Baptist thought of Jesus today in our text. John knew more about Jesus than probably anybody at that time. John recognized that Jesus was the chosen Savior, that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah of the Old Testament, and John believed that Jesus was his Savior too. John also realized that despite how popular he had become in his ministry, despite how many disciples he now had, he would eventually have to fade to the background for Jesus to take the scene. In fact, we know some of Jesus' own 12 disciples were originally John the Baptist's disciples. John was also well-versed in the scriptures. He knew what God had said about this coming Messiah, maybe even some of the sections we read this morning from the Old Testament. And John certainly knew and believed what God's will was for this chosen servant. But in this text, despite all that John knows and believes, he struggles to follow what Jesus directs him to do. Jesus comes to John and requests to be baptized by him. But John is initially hesitant, and probably with good reason. The preceding verses of Matthew chapter 3 help us understand why John felt this way. Matthew has already described that John baptized with water to repentance. John's baptism was like the way we perform baptisms, to wash sins away from sinners, to bring repentance through the gospel, and to clear off somebody's old record of wrongdoing and lawlessness, and to create the perfect record of Jesus in their place. And so as Jesus comes to John and requests to be baptized by him, of course John is going to take a step back and say, "Why? You're not a sinner. You don't need to repent." John was also probably concerned about sending the wrong message to the people around him. If baptism was meant for sinners who needed to repent, and if it washed that sin away in God's grace, what kind of message would that send about the chosen Messiah of God if he would publicly get baptized? Wouldn't that give the impression, at least to the people, that Jesus was some type of sinner? Simply put, Jesus was overqualified for the gift of baptism, and John knew it, and therefore he was somewhat appalled by Jesus' request, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" First of all, this lesson shows us for our lives that sometimes our limitations are concealed in good intentions. John had good intent with his objection. He trusted that Jesus was the Savior, even his own Savior from sin. He wanted to honor Jesus' name. He wanted to glorify him. And so he was hesitant to baptize Jesus. John's intentions were good. He wasn't trying to be openly rebellious before God. But he was still wrong. And because he was wrong, he was disqualified from the level of righteousness that God demanded. As much as John knew and believed about Jesus, there was still a lot that he didn't understand. And the same truth is present in the lives of every believer. A lack of spiritual insight is not always a product of openly rebelling against God's will. But just as it did for John, sometimes our limitations, even with good intentions, still reveal how we are disqualified to stand before God on our own. Jesus answered John's question by giving him the reason. Jesus said, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." In this answer, Jesus revealed what our disqualification is. We aren't righteous before God. We lack the holiness that God demands for those who live with him. And because we lack it, Jesus needed to fulfill it. Literally, Jesus needed to make it complete. Jesus had to complete holiness on our behalf in order for us to have any hope of living with God. And so, by John seeing for his own eyes the overqualification of Jesus for baptism, he also saw indirectly his disqualification as a sinner. And this is why we see one reason why many people choose not to follow Jesus. When we see his holiness, it reminds us of our unholiness. When we ponder what Jesus came to do, and God gives that to us in his word now, we can't bypass the needs that we have. We can't get rid of the things that Jesus needs to complete in our lives. John experienced the same thing here. When he conversed with God's Son, he was met with his failures as well. When John marveled at Jesus' overqualification, he also had to come to grips with his disqualification. The same thing happens every time we come before God's word and see what God's will is, what God's truth is, especially as it concerns the work of Jesus. We will be tempted to settle for a softer version of our Savior, one that doesn't clean out the wounds of our sin or demand complete righteousness before God. We'll be tempted to conform our thinking and act as if Jesus wouldn't say such a thing, that it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. When we look at God's word, we'll be tempted and encouraged by the world to change what God has put down, to change God's record of truth. Maybe just a little bit, maybe just so much, so that we can fit ourselves into the solution a bit more. So that we don't have to rely completely on Jesus as our Savior. So that we don't have to feel like we are disqualified. But one of the lessons that John was receiving from Jesus was that faith always begins with a need. And it's a need that only Jesus can fulfill. And in the words of our Savior, a need for righteousness before God. Jesus was indeed perfectly overqualified to be baptized. But he did not come to baptism as a sinner. He came to baptism as the Savior. He came to baptism not because he needed it, but because we needed it. He came as a sign through this baptism that he would come in our place in every way, that he would walk in our steps in every path. Hebrews 2 verse 17 tells us about Jesus. He had to be made like his brothers in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God to make atonement for the sins of the people. This was the chosen servant that God sent to redeem the world. One who would be overqualified when compared to us. But one who needed to have mercy and grace to stoop down to our level and to go through the things that we need to go through. And that is why in this moment at Jesus' baptism, God the Father approved of this humiliation of Jesus, of this stooping down to walk in our place. Verses 16 and 17 tell us, "Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus was not baptized to be forgiven. It wasn't a matter of repentance for him. He was not inadequate in any way. With or without his baptism, he would still be God. He would still be eternal. He would still be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Whether or not he was baptized, he would still be righteous and holy too. John thought all of these things were reason why Jesus shouldn't be baptized. But there was one more thing that was needed that John didn't consider. It wasn't a need that Jesus had, but it was a need that we have. Jesus was a Savior for sinners. Yes, Jesus needed to be the holy, eternal, all-loving God, but he also had to do things for us. And when we see that God does that, not just in the promises that he gives us, but through the actions that he's completed on our behalf, then we see why Jesus had to do things that were not demanded of him. He had to live in this fallen world. He had to be subjected to being fatigued, to being sorrowful, to being forsaken like we are. He, in fact, had to be subjected to much more than we do, suffering for the payment of our sins by shedding his own blood on the cross. Jesus did all these things not for himself, but for sinners like you and me. That's the testament and miracle of God's love. We've seen how God promised that love in his word. God talked about it. But here in the life of Jesus, we see how God fulfilled it. We see how God delivered on it. And that's the way it is with every promise, right? It's one thing to say it, but it's a completely different thing to do it. And Jesus not only extended the gift of salvation to us, but he completed everything that that gift required, especially to those to whom the gift was given. God didn't need to be saved. God did not need to be redeemed. Even the bodily Jesus here on earth, born of Mary, did not need to be forgiven. But Jesus did all this so that the gift given to us would apply to us, would be done for us. In this way, Jesus needed to become righteousness for us. We needed someone not only to say it, but to do it, to step into our place in perfect obedience to God's will. And baptism was one step on that path. It wasn't all that was included. This happened right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We know he would go on to do many other things. Baptism was not the end, all be all. But it was necessary. Was Jesus overqualified? Absolutely. But without it, righteousness would not be ours. The beauty of this lesson is the truth that we see the full picture of God's plan of salvation at work. We've seen how God delivered that promise in word, but then how God fulfilled it in Jesus through this baptism. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then Paul tells us how that happened. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See how this baptism of Jesus was deeply connected to his ultimate work of paying for the sins of the world, of achieving salvation for all people? Jesus had to take sin on at our level so that we could take on holiness at God's level. Our joy on Epiphany is having the certain knowledge that all people have been redeemed by Jesus' righteous life and blood. The promise is extended to all. Doesn't matter who you are. The promise and the call of salvation is given to all. But what would that mean if it was only given in words? The baptism of Jesus assures us that our Savior delivered on God's promise by doing what was necessary on our behalf. Therefore, Jesus was declared by the Trinity to be the acceptable chosen servant who would redeem the world. God the Father declared his Son beloved. God the Father said he was well pleased with this act of Jesus. And the miracle of faith is that because Jesus came down to our level, God the Father now says the same of you. God the Father declares you are beloved. You are well-pleasing in his sight. Not because we were qualified. Not because we had all the knowledge about what was needed. Not because our lives are filled with righteous and holy acts. It was only in Jesus that this could be declared. The Apostle Paul concludes this hope of the gospel in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He writes there, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Please rise.